Did you notice that I had a blurring like beauty filter on my face for the first half of the episode?
Honestly, no, I didn't. You're just naturally, your skin is so good.
I was like, why the hell are my cheeks so smooth? And then
All right, hey everybody. Welcome back to the Deconstruction Zone. This is episode 82. Danny, how's it going?
it's going all right. It's cold.
It is cold.
I had a follow-up knee appointment with my doctor today, which is
Okay.
always weird when it's negative 4 degrees out and you haven't been able to stretch in your appointments at 8 in the morning and they're trying to measure your flexibility. And I'm like, well, it's really not my fault, actually, in this case. But other than that, it's been pretty good.
Okay, yeah, this is probably gonna be a quicker episode. You know, we kind of are both lives are a little hectic right now, but we're gonna just check in. But I wanted to start with a
Yeah.
story. This happened this week at school. I always like open up this like every class with a do now question. It's usually just a way to like spark discussion and tries to like lead in to what we're gonna talk about. So
Okay.
I think on like Wednesday, I asked my question was like, why do you think all social media platforms have like a comment section? And like, what is the purpose of that and things like that? And I was trying to get them to talk about the fact that we all have a lot to say about almost any like sort of media that we engage with and how that
Yeah.
like adds meaning to it. I thought it was a cool question. This kid walks in and he goes, "Ms. Yell, I gotta be honest, it's a pretty shallow question." I was like, oh, okay. He was like, and honestly, I think it's pretty surface level. So I have a new question for the class. And I was like, okay. And he goes, "Which do you guys think is stronger, love or hate?" And I was like, oh,
A real banger to replace yours.
I was like, you know what? At least that's not surface level. But,
What did you have an answer for the question? Like, what would be your answer? Like, what was your, or what was the best answer you heard from students?
well, there's this one like very quiet girl that like doesn't talk, and she just very quietly was like, "I think it's hate." And I was like, "Oh, it's like I'm so glad you're engaging. Like, talk about it." And she was like, "Hate's just really strong." And then that's like all she said. And I was like, "All right."
Fair enough.
I think what I said is, and then well, then this kid started being like, "Well, God is love, and God is the strongest." And I work in a public school, so I was like, "Okay." But what I said is, I said, I think that love is stronger, but I think that sometimes hate is louder
Oh,
or like
yeah.
sticks with us. And then I like told them a little bit about the idea of a schema and how like some of us have like a bucket in our brains that holds on to all of those like mean comments you've ever heard or like the hate or the harsh comments. We hold on to that, but we don't make a bucket for like all the like love and affirmation we receive. We kind of let that ping off and forget about it. And so hate ends up feeling a lot stronger because that's what we hold on to and keep like looking back to. And it was a pretty interesting
Yeah.
conversation.
Yeah. That, I mean, I think that for a question that was pretty surface level, following up your surface level question, it
Right.
does open up a really interesting level of conversation. Like you've heard this statement before, probably something like the boos are the loudest, or like your critics are the loudest. And the idea that like just because you hear the people complaining the most doesn't mean that's the main thrust of what people believe, which isn't the exact same question, but it does like connect to the idea of what you're saying, like hate or anger or like honestly just any sort of negative sticks with us more and ends up being louder, louder than anything. Like it is, like I said this before, this is our second time trying to start this, and I started with a story about me coaching basketball, weird interaction. And I won't get a ton into the story, but I will say like that was pretty much the thrust of the whole thing. Someone in the middle of the game, the other coach asked me, "Does your wife even love you?" And I'll be honest with you, I didn't go to sleep till like 2 in the morning last night because I just reran everything from the conversation from a third grade basketball game in my mind, because I was like, "What did I do? And did I do, like, did I start that? Like, what was happening?" But it's true. Like, I think like hate and negativity stick with us, and like whether it's stick with us in good ways for the long term or short term, it's like they do stick with us regardless and start to form us whether we want them to or not.
I mean, I think, like, obviously we're a deconstruction podcast, but I was even thinking of, like, I think the fact we say all the time, like, how can you keep the good and, like, get rid of, like, the BS? But I think the reason why this whole process ended up getting the name deconstruction is because, like, the first work you have to do is to start to unravel all the negative stuff, because that's what originally sticks with you.
Yeah.
And I think, like, the hope is as you sift through it, like, then the good shines through and sticks with you. But it's hard to focus on that because you've almost, like, thrown that aside because you've been holding on to, like, all of the hurt and the bad.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good. Well, I do have a follow-up question on that, but I will say, would you entertain the idea of us this not being a deconstruction podcast and becoming a third grade basketball podcast? Should we just talk about third every week? No. So I'd be interested, because I know this is a shorter episode. You and I have a lot, like, life has gotten busy. I think that we're going to have more time outside of January, but this January has been hectic for the two of us. But I would be interested as you reflect back on these chronicled 82 weeks of deconstruction, but obviously, like, your whole journey, like, what has been the thing that has stuck with you the most that maybe you were surprised by that was maybe more rooted than, like, pain or shame or hate? And is there anything that, like, stuck with you that was kind of a light or loving that you're reflecting back on, but maybe you don't always, like, immediately think about, but, like, when you kind of, because that's kind of the way it goes sometimes with positive things, as you said, like, we don't immediately go to those. And so I'd be interested to hear, like, what is maybe the hardest you're willing to share and maybe the happiest or lightest moment you're willing to share from this journey?
Yeah, I'm going to come to your question because I actually had a conversation that was basically like this just yesterday. I was talking to someone who had a very similar upbringing as me. And she was saying, she was like, I don't really believe any of this anymore. Like, I'm agnostic. However, I remember certain, like, advice or lines that I wrote, like, from church that I, like, give as real advice today that feels crazy because I know the origin of it and I no longer associate with that. But I remember her example was, like, this is something I think Tim Keller said a lot. I don't know if it's from him originally, but he said, our greatest desire is to be fully known and fully loved, but our greatest fear is to be fully known and then, like, not met with love.
Yeah.
And I just, like, it's just crazy because I had this conversation yesterday where she was like, I kind of feel a little bit weird giving people that advice, but because I no longer associate with the background, but I still think it holds true. And I even remember, like, I'm not going to go into details on this one, but I was giving someone relationship advice the other day and she was like, where did you hear that? And I was like, I think I heard that, like, growing up in church. And so it definitely is, like, I think that is a real experience that some of us feel weird about, like, the origins of how we get some stuff that's, like, in our arsenal of wisdom, in a sense. It's hard for me to pick something, like the thing that has, like, shined the brightest, I feel, or shown, I don't know, but.
Shown.
But I honestly feel like that's something that I want to keep thinking about because I feel like it's maybe not necessarily, like, one thing is coming to mind of, like, this has stayed, like, the truest and brightest thing, other than, I guess, just, like, the truth of, like, love and inclusion and sacrifice are always going to be compelling and are always going to be good. And those are, like,
yeah,
things that are very true of Christianity that it's okay to be like, yeah, that's where, even if you don't consider yourself a Christian anymore, to be like, I, like, those truths and those values came to me from my upbringing. And I think that's, like, good and beautiful.
Mm. Yeah.
I know that's not a perfect answer, but, like, that's kind of where I'm at.
I think that is what makes it a perfect answer. If it's where you're at, then it's the right answer to give. So I dig it.
But, like, I mean, I'm sure you have feelings like that too, of things that have stuck with you from places that you no longer really associate with.
Yeah. I mean, I think about the most easy, like, analogy of this is, I think about, like, sometimes when I'm preaching, like, the language I want to use is language that, like, is really familiar and comfortable to me, but maybe not, like, exactly the way I would say it, or, like, or if I say, even like you quoting Tim Keller, like if I quoted certain people at the well, like it would trigger those people, even if like their statements are really, really positive. I think that's the most interesting thing about this whole journey of deconstruction is like, and I'm a pretty, I think I'm accountability culture guy. I'm not a huge cancel culture person. So it's like throwing out everybody that like the conservative authors that I'm like, I don't agree with you because of certain things, throwing them all out is kind of crazy to me, because it's like they did have nuggets of wisdom, even if it was like the whole package wasn't like everything I loved it. And same thing with like worship music, people like, we don't sing Bethel or Hillsong anymore because of X, Y, or Z thing. It's like, I don't know that we throw the baby and the bathwater out together. So I don't know. It's like, it is an interesting journey. And I think it's what makes deconstruction, and you could probably speak to this more specifically than I could, but I think it's what makes deconstruction hard is because when you're in it, it feels very all or nothing because the stakes feel really high. But then I think everyone on the outside, whether they're agnostic, atheist, deconstructed, whatever, or religious, they also, their camps are like, it's all or nothing. And it's just a weird experience to be in the midst of it, because just because you don't know where to stand, because everyone's like telling you it's all or nothing or something. And then you're just like, what do I do? You know?
I mean, 100%. And I was even thinking about back when I was in like high school, there was a Babylon Bee article, and it was like, the idea was like something of like atheist neighbor runs over to like Christian neighbor's house to borrow some morality for his argument. Then it was like so classic Babylon Bee. And I remember we read it in high school, and my teacher was like, this is the problem, is like people who aren't like fully aligned with us want to take some of our values, but like you can't just want. And so it's kind of fun to then feel like you became one of the people that the fundamentalists like resent and think like, no, if you left, you can't have any of it. And it's like, wouldn't you rather have someone take like some beautiful things out of what you were creating than nothing at all? Or you want to gatekeep all of it for the sake of like converting more fundamentalists?
Yeah, Christians are funny, fundamentalists especially, because they think they've cornered the market on morality when it's like, obviously you haven't. And so it's like the idea that like it's even yours to gatekeep is an odd experience and thing to watch in real time, you know?
I mean, for sure. But like, I think it is hard, because it's hard when you remember language like that and you're now on the other side, because you're like,
yeah,
do I even have the right to this? Like kind of thing. When in reality, I don't think in Jesus' teachings, if someone was ever like, man, I loved this part of the Sermon on the Mount and not this, he was like, then don't take any of it. You know, like, I'm sure he was
right,
just like,
right.
Okay, like, I wish he would have loved all of it, but I'm glad that you like the Beatitudes. Like, something like that. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think, so with this one, we got to wind down because I know you got somewhere to be here in a little bit. But here's what I would say. This isn't technically going to be a two-parter because it's going to drop tomorrow, Tuesday. But I would be interested. I think we should have a further conversation on the topic of morality. I think it'd be really interesting to talk a little bit about like the overlap and the Venn diagram of like how those things are made, and does anyone have a claim to certain things, or is it really all up for grab? And how much of it is choose your own adventure, and how much of it is like it needs to stay, you know? Like, I'd be interested to explore that a little more, especially from your perspective.
I dig that. And because this is coming out tomorrow, like if you're listening, if you listen in time, like email us your thoughts about maybe morality or what we've been talking about, because this is like somewhat of a two-parter. And so hopefully people can like in real time engage the discussion with us. And so we're ready to go for next week, because I think that's a big discussion for sure.
Yeah. And let's put some stuff on Instagram too this week. And we'll see if anyone has stuff that we can like throw in there. But because we're jammed for time, we're not going to do a recommendation station this week. Why don't you and your dog send us out, and then we'll be back here next week to have a longer discussion on morality.
Yeah. The dogs are just very excited to talk about morality. So that they're,
I think so.
sorry if that was jarring in anyone's headphones. All right. Well, everybody, thanks for listening. Remember to send questions or comments about morality this week. And as always, embrace the journey. We'll get there.
We did it.